Now, would you like to have your Bibles open at Psalm 1? And I'll read it again for us. It's only a short psalm. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So our consideration this morning is the fourth verse. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Well, over the last month I've been preaching through Psalm 1, and I know that it has already proved profitable because a number of you have spoken to me about it, and I'm really pleased about that. The great author who we highly respect, C.S. Lewis, said about the Psalms that the Psalms were poems, and they were poems to be sung. And to that extent, he was absolutely correct, quite right. But when he said that they were not doctrinal and that they were not sermons, he was quite wrong. Because actually, the Psalms are doctrinal. And I'm going to show you what doctrine comes up out of the first Psalm this morning. Athanasius, that great defender of the faith, said this about the Psalms: they capture the whole of Scripture. And that's why I often recommend to you, if you want me to tell you what I think you should begin to read, if you're searching the things of the Gospel, the things of Christ, read Mark's Gospel. Read Mark's Gospel. Then read the Psalms. Then read Luke's Gospel. Then perhaps go back to the Psalms. Athanasius was right. They capture the whole of Scripture. And another old writer said that the Psalms are a compendium of an entire theology. And so it's exactly as I find it. So if I find a theology that comes up in the New Testament, I can easily trace it in the Psalms. And Martin Luther, that great 16th century reformer, he said this. He called the Psalms a little Bible. And so it is. So in the Psalms, here is poetry, an unforgettable metaphor. Here is doctrine and simile. Here is clarity of theology. Here is an anchor which will hold us to the Almighty God. It's not surprising to me that when you begin to open up the Psalms, as old as they are, they have a relevance to our very day, and so they do. So we have looked at the one who is happy and the one who is blessed. It's the one who deliberately, as an individual, he, she, individually, they decide to take a different course in life, which is exactly what repentance is. People say, what is repentance? Well, turning round and going in a different direction. Everyone else is flooding in this direction. And the one who is in repentance turns round and goes in a different one. So this individual that we're talking about is happy, is blessed. And if I went back to the garden and I looked at Adam and Eve, who God made, I would find that they were truly happy and that they were really blessed by God. And the work of redemption in the cross of Jesus is to bring mankind to a happy place again, to make him happy, to make him blessed. Of course it is. And here we find at the very beginning of this psalm, this man, this woman, the one who's spoken of, is blessed and is happy indeed. What a happy condition it is. What a happy condition to be blessed by the Lord God. And so it is with this man. He returns to a state of real, of true happiness. And of course, to return to a place of true happiness will demand that we take a different path in life. And so it's not surprising who he doesn't stand with, who he doesn't sit with, who she doesn't spend time in company with. It's all connected. It's all joined together. And this person considers, you'll notice, the law of the Lord or his requirements. This person is prepared to listen to what God has to say. And when we come together like this and we open up the Word of God, we're saying we're prepared to consider what God would say to us. Put simply, left to ourselves, we ruin ourselves. We are, every one of us, we are serial self-harmers. That's the truth of it. And I don't like to hear people saying, God did this to me, or God, no, you did it, I did it. Whatever I did to myself before I became a Christian, I did it to myself. It was me who did it. You did it. We are serious self-harmers. We make ourselves very unhappy. We make ourselves very sad. We are not blessed. And God says, the one who is blessed is the one who separates himself out in company terms, repents and goes in a different direction, the one who meditates on the law of the Lord. And God comes to those lives, and he comes to them forever. And as we thought last week, he plants them, and they bring forth fruit. Their leaf does not wither, and they endure. And of course, it's true that you may have become a Christian, and your growth may be slow. That's not a problem. Don't worry about that. It may be a quiet growth, but it's growth. It's real. But without the manifestation of fruit in one's life, there is no evidence that we are truly Christians. And so we have to make sure that we have been rooted, planted by the Lord. As I said last week from the book of Isaiah, it's a planting of the Lord. So this is the beginning. Now, you cannot have forgotten that a few weeks ago, I made this very clear, that the Bible sets out only two kinds of people. There's only two kinds of man, if I can put it that way. There's the natural man and there's the spiritual man. There's the one who is dead in sins and the one who is made alive in Christ. There's the one who's lost and the one who's found. The one who's saved and the one who's perishing. The one who's planted and the one who is unplanted. There's the one on the broad road to destruction and the one who's on the narrow road that leads to life. There are the sheep and the goats, the children of God and the children of the devil. And there's heaven and hell. And there are no grey tones between. Illustration. When I was a student, I've never forgotten it. What a dreadful block. I remember it. Oh dear, so painful to me. I did a block for 2 weeks as an art student where we were given just a tube of black oil paint and a tube of white oil paint. Right, spend 2 weeks mixing them together and see how many different shades of grey you can come up with. I've never forgotten it. Actually, it's done me a huge amount of good. I've been very grateful for it for these 40 years. But how painful it was. So many shades of grey. It was absolutely extraordinary. But with God, there are no shades of grey. They don't exist. So you'll do well to think the way that the Lord thinks. His attempt is to make crystal clear to us this morning that whatever was true of the one in the first part of the psalm, Psalm 1, is not true of the one in the second part. There is such a wrench, such a difference between verse 1, 2 and 3 and the person you find there and the one you find in verse 4. And so it begins very helpfully in the NIV, not so the wicked. So all the blessings, the things that the other man, the other woman did, not so the wicked. Here is a clear distinction. And I would say to all of you this morning, let's not live in a make-believe world. Let's not leave this place this morning and say, Andrew puts it such a harsh way. He puts it so hard. Andrew doesn't put it so harsh and hard. I can't divide the psalm up the way it's divided. It is clearly as it is. You see it for what it is. God is speaking in unmistakable language so that none of us can say, oh, well, I wasn't clear on that. The verse says, not so the wicked. Quickly, what are the wicked like? They like each other's company. They gravitate towards one another. They sit and they stand together. They do not walk in the council of Christians. They do not tend to want to be in the company of Christians, by and large. They do not meditate on God's word. To them, the word of God is just a chore. Is the word of God to you just a chore? Something I've got to do? You need to ask yourself, every one of you, what does that mean? This person, the first one, meditates day and night. Can't get enough of the word of God. He delights in it. It's a delight to him. It is food to his soul. Not so the wicked. And they're not planted by faith. They're not in Christ. They don't bring forth any spiritual fruit. And essentially in life, in the real essential things, they do not prosper. Here is the difference between those in the first part of Psalm 1. Not so the wicked. So in this form of comparing one thing with another, this form of simile that he's been using, he says they're like chaff. And you all know what the picture of chaff is. Those ancient people still do it today. You find in parts of the world where the corn is thrown up into the air and the wind comes along and it just separates, blows the weightless chaff away to one side and the grain falls to the ground. Here it says, not so the wicked, they are like chaff. Those of you who are reading the New Living Translation, some of you are, it doesn't say, not so the wicked, they are like chaff. It says they are like worthless chaff. Worthless. Chaff is worthless. It simply has no worth to it. So, this morning, get this picture in your mind. Here is the one who separates himself out from the way he or she walks. They meditate on the word of God. They are planted by the Lord. They bring forth fruit. Wonderful. Their leaf never fails. They continue. What a wonderful picture. Not so the wicked. Here is not a well-watered plant of any kind, but dry bones. And I think that it will be memorable to all of us if we think like this. That chaff is rootless, chaff is weightless, and chaff is useless. So if you can go away from here and say, here is the verdict of Almighty God upon the lives of people, not Andrews, not Trinity Evangelical Church, here is the verdict of the Lord God Almighty. You might say all manner of nice things about people as you think about them, but God comes with a rapier-like, incisive word. And he speaks straight to us. And he says, rootless, weightless, useless. God's verdict upon mankind that lives and practices wickedness. Rootless, weightless, and useless. Now, what about this first thought that we have here? Rootless. Actually, every one of us, and the young people will particularly know this, everybody's trying to become rooted. Of course they are. They're trying to become firmed in. To belong, of course they are. To find a stability. And of course what we want is we want a bond deeper and bigger and lasting than what we've got at the moment. And instinctively, and the adults will know this, instinctively people think this will come through money, through successes in life, through fortune. And all of this will root us, it will establish us. We will have the things that really make us what we want to be. But of course, we know that in some way or another, in life, things come unstuck. And the anchor gives way, the anchor that we had, whatever that was. The storms come and they blow across our lives and very easily they overpower us. We all know that. And recently, I didn't see it, but I was told that Channel 5 did some really excellent investigative journalism about Britain's cocaine epidemic. Middle class people are using it, police officers are using it, social workers, students, politicians, young and old alike. It's a squalid multi-billion pound business that more and more is being used by the people of this country. It's in part an escape, it's a way to find some release, some ecstasy of some kind, some way of coping, a coping mechanism. Because people are without an anchor. They're desperate for something. They need something. We all do. Now, not everyone is on cocaine. I understand that very well. But everyone needs a lift. Everyone needs to be rooted. Everyone needs a belonging. Everyone needs a place. And that's why I said to you the other week, the church isn't to be your belonging. The following of a man isn't to be your belonging. It has to be the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, what happens is sin makes us restless. And that's why you will almost always yearn for something new in your life. You're restless. The soul is restless. It is naturally restless. It wants something bigger and better and more lasting than the thing that it's got at the moment. And so we sang the hymn this morning. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, which they're going to, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? And the contrast is for the Christian who says, we have an anchor that can keep the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. What a contrast between the chaff, those who are rootless. What a contrast between those and those who are grounded upon the rock which cannot move. Some of the older people here probably will not listen to me and they're not going to take any of my advice. But it's possible that one or two of the young people will be. Get yourself grounded on the rock who is Christ and you will never be moved, I promise you. Rooted and grounded in the Saviour's love, just as we had it. So this chaff that God identifies, not so the wicked, they are like chaff. I'm moving ahead for a second in my message, in my sermon. Just so that all of you know, I'm going to come on to who the wicked are. So before any of you start to say, none of this has got anything to do with me, I've counted myself out. I don't belong to the class of the wicked. You need to listen. And listen very carefully. Where are you grounded? You know this morning whether you're a Christian or not. If you're not grounded in the Saviour's love, you're the chaff. Rootless. And how will you ever grow anything that is of any spiritual and lasting and real value without being rooted and grounded in the Saviour's love? So I recommend always the person of the Saviour to each and every one of you. But the chaff is not just rootless, but it's weightless. That's the whole point about the chaff. It lacks any substance. It's easily blown away. Listen carefully. It doesn't need a hurricane to blow it away. It doesn't need a big storm to blow it away. It only needs a very slight breeze. And it's just blown away. Because its weight, its substance, is almost nothing at all. So the slightest stirring of the wind, and you'll know this, why, how easily the chaff that is standing before you, as he was as a young man, was so easily blown from this side to that and to the next one. So easily, the little wind of opinion and the little wind of a voice here and a voice there, so easily blown. And that is exactly what we are like. I'd like the young people to really think about this. Sin, in effect, makes us weightless. It makes us to be young people who grow up into men and women who have really no gravity at all. Sin makes us easy pickings. Of course it does. And you watch. You just watch people who are naturally godless. Look how they chatter. Look how they gossip. Look how they pay the maximum interest in all the things that are insignificant. And have you noticed this? How lightweight the godless are. Everything is a joke. Everything is levity. The whole way of getting through the day. And woe betide anyone. Oh, the dreadful thought that we should talk about anything serious. Introduce a joke as quick as you can. Let's have some levity in the situation because everything's becoming too serious. Ah, but you see, God is serious. Do you know, I've not found a joke in God's word. I have not found levity. That's the thing about it, you see. Have you seen how weightless the stuff is that people engage in all of their lives? And many of us are able to remember before we were converted to Christ how weightless, how empty-headed spiritually and in many other ways we were until the gospel came to us. People will say, don't want the conversation to get too heavy. Hey, you know how to kill a conversation, don't you? You're having a good conversation with people, but just once introduce the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can kill it stone dead. Because he spells seriousness. There's not going to be anything that you're going to be joking about. It will bring a shuddering halt. There is something about this man that brings weight and seriousness to all conversation. Aren't his teachings weighty? They wouldn't have lasted so long as they have. Had they have not been substantial. Had they not challenged us. Had they not made us stop and think about the way that we do life. Had they not, as it were, introduced an entirely new philosophy to life itself. I put it like this. That his teaching can search out the parts in us that no other teaching is able to reach. And the way to the Christian gospel, once it's in us, it tends to affect all of our lives. Do you know it colours every encounter? Well, I can't think, except thinking as a Christian, about every encounter and every conversation and our views and attitudes, the things that we love and perhaps the things that we hate, for the Bible says, love that which is good and hate that which is evil. Will you just not notice, at least the young people, when you go to school, think about how changeable, how altered people are from one week to the next, taking on the next new thing or whatever it might be. Blown along by the wind like chaff. In the moral malaise that we're in at the moment, how will you be able to stand? How will you be able to hold on onto a morality or an ethic which is not changeable? Which is not shifting with the wind. Only if you're firmly grounded and rooted in the Saviour's love. I suggest to you that when you come to an understanding of the gospel, you'll put on weight. Not for the only time that you'll be happy to put on weight, but you will do. And how wonderful is that weight, and hopefully you continue to gain weight in the Christian life, because the chaff is rootless and it is weightless. What a difference in coming to the Saviour. Now quickly, it's not just rootless and weightless. It's useless. Who's got the New Living Translation of the Bible this morning? Come on, put your hands up. Come on. Is that you, Abigail? Right, get your hand up. Well done, love. Who else? Anybody else? Right, you all need to get yourself a New Living Translation of the Bible. It's excellent. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff. The New Living Translation says, useless chaff. Now, it always strikes me with great pain, and I am deeply affected by this personally, when anyone says to me, I feel that my life is useless. And it pains me very, very deeply indeed to think that anyone would think of their lives as being useless. But it is important for me to say to any of you, it's not God who renders our lives useless. Oh no, we do it ourselves. I repeat this. It is the work of our own hands. You see, sin leaves us like chaff. Useless. It takes us in. We follow it gladly, and then it spits us out, and then all is ruin, and all is lost. Do you remember the passage this morning that I read from Romans chapter 1? Well, I'll remind you of it. Paul says their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Now you can listen carefully. Sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarrelling, deception, malicious behaviour, and gossip, backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud and boastful. They are heartless, they break their promises, they disobey their parents, they refuse to understand and have no mercy. Is there anyone here who can absent themselves from the list of the wicked that is mentioned there? No. No one. You all belong to it, whether you like it or not. The chaff is useless, so I ask this candid question this morning. Is greed useless? I'm asking you, is greed useless? You all know the answer. And what about envy? Is that useless? And pride, is it useless? And murder? Oh, everybody will say yes, murder is useless. And deception? And gossip? And boasting? And quarrelling? I ask, are any of these useful? Or are they all useless? And the answer which we give easily is that they are all useless, and yet we are willing to be practitioners of some of them. Isn't that extraordinary? The chaff is only fit to be rejected and thrown away. So I'm saying to you this morning, all of these useless acts of wickedness are only fit to be thrown away. Never gossip about anyone ever again. Never envy anyone ever again. It's the mark of the chaff. Never be a backstabber ever again. It's the mark of the chaff. Boastfulness of any kind is useless, only fit to be thrown away, so throw it away. Does envy have any use at all? Any use? Throw it away. What about deception? And breaking promises? And hating God? And disobedience to one's parents? I'm speaking to the young people now. Are any of these things useful? I'm looking at all of the young people. Are you disobedient to your parents? It is not useful. It is useless. It's a mark of being chaff. And it's true that many of you will say, I'm not a practicer of all these things. No, but you're a practicer of some of them. And if anyone should say, well, I've never committed murder, Jesus has closed that loophole as well. Because anyone who has ever hated anyone else, Jesus says, is a murderer. So even that loophole is closed. What happens is with the list in Romans chapter 1, we're all trapped. It identifies the wickedness of our hearts and how it then comes out. Because it is the things that are in the heart that become expressed by us that we do. So let me ask regarding hatred. How many people have you killed? How many people are you going to go on killing? This is the chaff. Now, I don't think it's been difficult for me this morning to show you that the chaff is rootless and weightless, and certainly it is useless. So the best thing that we can do now is to say that this is a godly assessment of our human condition, and for us to go as far as to say, God, we agree with you. You're absolutely bang on right. And I have mentioned it before, I mention it again only to be useful and helpful to people. In my own conversion to Christ was the sight of my utter uselessness. I was just chaff. I could see it. It's what brought me to the Lord. So you can understand why I'm passionate about preaching about it. Seeing oneself as chaff, rootless, weightless, and useless, is probably one of the most wonderful things that you can get a hold of. Hey, not far away from understanding that I was chaff was understanding that I was coming into judgment, and what comes next week, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They're not going to be able to stand the chaff, not at the day of the judgment. But the good news, the glory of the Christian gospel, is how quickly the Lord can change us and alter us and alter us forever. How quickly he can root us and establish us in faith if we are willing to repent and turn around and consider his word. Because if you won't listen to me, if you don't want to heed this, you'll go on and your life will develop. And the sense of you being chaff, although it will come to you, and you'll be aware of it because you'll remember this message, you'll never be able to do anything about it. It'll be too late. Today is the day of opportunity when the word of God is preached. Walk with different people, repent and go in another direction. Take up the word of God and read it with all of your heart. Get planted in Christ, not this church, but in Christ. And bring forth fruit and watch your life being established so that it will be established on a rock. And no matter what the billows and the storms come against it, it will not shake it. It will be there for all of this life and for eternity. Contrast that. You go out of this door this morning, you just remain the chaff. Rootless, weightless, and useless. It's a radical alteration to become a Christian. So this morning, go away and say, or even now as I preach, as you pray at the end, Lord, root me in Christ. Save me. Make me put on weight. And make me useful. My life can be used. My life can be useful for God. My life can be useful for Jesus Christ. It can be altered and changed forever. It doesn't have to be so lightweight and throwaway and worth next to nothing. It can be changed forever. The picture of the chaff should remain with everyone and should last us easily a lifetime. But this morning, it can be so greatly used in the life of someone. You see, because I can see all of you, I know who's really listening, I know who's not really that bothered. I actually do, because I can see it in your faces. And I can see those who are trying to look and listen like that. So I know who's trying to look and listen this morning, don't you worry. So this morning it might be someone here, perhaps one of the young people, who has really listened and thought about this. You've got the whole of your lives to live, you young people. Don't be the chaff. Be established in the Lord, and you come to him. Come to him by simple faith. Cast yourself upon him. Repent of your sin and believe in him, and he will save you. Because he has said that he will. And of that we can be quite sure. There is no picture quite like this one in Psalm 1 in the whole of the Bible that sets it out in such a beautiful way that none of us can be in any doubt. So may God speak to us and use his word, not just this morning, but for the rest of our lives. God bless his word to us. Amen.
Amen.